Hey, everybody. Welcome in. Thanks for joining us. I'm James Adams. He's Skeeter Robinson. This is the Fantastics My Fantasy Fix DFS Golf Podcast, and we are getting you ready for the stretch run, the Rocket Mortgage Classic, going to Detroit Golf Club, Detroit, Michigan. Skeeter, before we do that, we'll take one last trip back up to the Northeast, at least for now, anyway, as the Travelers Championship goes to Keegan Bradley. Kind of a victory parade of sorts on Sunday, given the big lead he had, nobody really pressing him, and the fact that he was at home, if you will, on his quote-unquote home course as far as PGA Tour events goes. I certainly liked the Denny McCarthy 60 on Thursday, no question about it, but it's always cool to see things like this. Keegan, you could tell, was even into it with his family early in the week, having his kids and wife come on the inside of the ropes before, I think it was Friday after he finished his round. So you could tell that that was going on. It was cool. I don't know. I guess there's my takeaways. Normally I asked yours first. I gave you mine first. Hey, how you doing? What are you taking from the Travelers?
You know, I think it was just kind of cool. Like, when was it? The 2018, 2019, when was the, when did Ravy win?
I don't know, but I can give you that answer 19, really quickly.
It was 2019.
Yes, it is.
You know who Ravy played with in the final group that year?
Keegan Bradley, by chance?
Yes.
I didn't know that, but I do now.
Yeah, so it's kind of cool to see them back again, but this time with a different winner, but... Yeah, the way they supported Keegan and, yeah, the family and his reaction, just, I mean, it was great. It's always like Keegan in the Northeast, and I get there, it's like, oh, he's just not in great form, you know, he just doesn't cut the U.S. Open, da-da-da-da, and he goes and blitzes the field. Yeah, some pretty low scores. For me, DraftKings-wise, I was telling you, I think I played, like, I played eight lineups, I had, like, 17 golfers. 14 of the 17 made the cut, which is really good. Unfortunately, every lineup had at least one of the ones who didn't make the cut. So, but I still ended up okay as Scheffler made his usual Sunday weekend run to not really threaten, but kind of be there at the end. And, you know, once again, Rory kind of being in contention, just not doing a whole heck of a lot. Or no. Was he further back?
JT made a little run. Rory did make a run. He was just one of those guys that made an early run on Sunday, and so by the time the rest of the leaderboard got a chance to play the back nine, they just kind of pushed him down the leaderboard a little bit. But Rory, I believe what they said as they opened coverage was he's doing what he can to make a push.
Gotcha. Well, yeah, I had multiple 60, 59 watches, things mm-hmm. like that, but just soft course, rain kind of made it easier and just turned into a birdie fest. And well, it's that time of year for that because we're about to come upon a couple more tournaments that are going to be the exact same way.
Are we ready to turn our attention to the next tournament on the schedule here?
Yes.
It is Rocket Mortgage Classic. It's Detroit Golf Club, Detroit, Michigan. It's par 72, 7,340 yards. And Skeeter, Tony Finau, the defending champ. Bryson DeChambeau won here. I think this is the one where he almost like the trophy fell apart on him. When in the ceremony, big hitters is what I'm kind of seeing. Is that what we're looking for? What kind of player, what kind of statistics are we looking for from this tournament?
Well, I mean, Cam Davis is a big winner hitter. And he won. Mm-hmm. I forget where Nate Lashley is at the first one, but you know, I don't think driving distance is a massive thing to look at. Like it certainly will help, but I think because this tournament's always in the summer, it's so hot and the ball rolls out so much that distance just doesn't seem to matter as much. Again, this is just going to be another birdie festival. Opportunities, birdies. A lot of the proximities are from 125 to 175, and some from 200 plus just because of the four par fives. Some of the par threes over 200 yards, looking at that. So, and I'll par four, par five strokes gained. So, Kind of your typical scoring stats. Look at putting a little bit. Top 65 in ties. This is a full 156 person field. So it's an event. I don't know if it's just coming off of the whole month of June or the stretch where we had the PGA Championship, we had Colonial, the Memorial, Canada. How awesome that was! The U.S. Open. And then last week, the Travelers Elevated event. Now we're just kind of at the dull part of the schedule, I feel. And yes, I know this includes my John Deere Classic next week, but just like, you know, this field's not bad at the top end. I think once we get to the bottom end, it's going to start getting a little questionable. Even though there are some 6Ks I don't mind, but you know, as I'm looking through the first run of my list, I only have 17 players that I put a star by, so that's about 6 or 7 lower than I have been the past few weeks.
Are we ready to get into that field?
Yes.
And by the way, I just to point out, Kevin Kisner had 2 good performances here, not last year, but the previous 2. So to just kind of refute, even with the long ball hitters being the winners, Chris Kirk have had a decent run of success without being known to mash the long ball. So just curious, because we did have those winners that way. But and anyway, Skeeter, it's the field that we get into here, and it starts with the defending champ up top in 10K plus. It's Tony Finau at 10.9, Colin Morikawa is 10.6, Ricky Fowler 10.4, Max Homa 10.2, Justin Thomas 10K even. Skeeter, who you like here up top?
Okay, before we started, we were talking about, you know, I mentioned how your boy Denny McCarthy is going to play the John Deere next week, and you're like, this feels like the breakthrough. And I was like, yep, I was kind of thinking the same thing. I think it's time for another person to break through, and that's Ricky Fowler at 10-4. Just rates out really well. Number 1 in par 5s, 7th in par 4s, 2nd birdies are better, which is what I want to see. I mean, we've seen him go low the past 2 weeks at the U.S. Open and Travelers. This is probably more like the Travelers. Won't have the difficulty of the U.S. Open. Solid all around. The only thing would be slightly where he's like average as price, I mean, from 200 plus yards, but everything else he rates out really well for 10-4. I mean, I'm not sure we would have thought Ricky Fowler would be the 3rd highest priced golfer in a tournament this year without a win, but here we are. And frankly, I think he's my favorite in this tier.
He's probably my number 2. I'm going to go with JT as my favorite.
Mine too.
Because of what's like going on here, you talk about all the big events we've had. This seems like a lull in the schedule. This might well be a lull for certain players in this field. JT has had a lull in his career so far in this season. I mean, it's hard to believe that a year ago he had just won his 2nd major. He's playing terribly right now. We saw some real signs, and frankly, he could have been even further up the board and in contention. Missed a few putts from not very far out late in his round Sunday. Now, that's kind of been the bugaboo, unfortunately, for JT, as the putter hasn't been working. But at this price, 10K, we are seeing an effect from his round, his good performance recently, but I'll take the discount versus everybody else. And I feel like he probably is, without really knowing where his head is, I feel like he's probably more motivated than anybody else in this 10K tier because of what his season has been thus far. Like, he might be struggling to just make the end of the year tournaments, the FedEx Cup.
Right. Well, let's also remember something. He shot even par on Thursday. Like, he was, you know, going on Friday, you know, was he going to make the cut or not? So,
and was not making the minus, or I'm sorry, I think -1 was the cut line after one day.
Barely, not that it matters, but floating towards -2. But yeah, I mean, it's just where he is. But no, if he has finally gotten it back, you're like, he's not going to be my one and done pick, because if he's getting it back, I think I have some other tournaments in mind I'd like to use him for. But, he's currently 66th in the FedEx Cup standings. He is, let me see if I can do some quick math, 28 points ahead of 71st.
So he's in, and he's got to be, if you're him and you're in, you're comfortable, but that's not a comfortable spot to be in on the pecking order.
No, it is not. But no, I'm with you. I always build like a dummy lineup just to kind of see what I'm thinking before I really look at stats or anything. I start with Ricky and JT.
I'll be interested to see what that build looks like, because I'll tell you, JT's my 1, Fowler's mine too, so I assume you're saying that you just have them in opposite order.
Yes, but just because I've seen Ricky kind of more consistent over a longer period of time, whereas we kind of saw JT make some strides last week, I kind of want to see it again before I boost him over Ricky.
Who are we fading here?
Probably Homa. Just not getting those finishes. Like, ever since they left California to go to the Florida swing, he just has not been himself. So at 10-2, I really think JT probably should be higher. Maybe not, but Homa's just not somebody I'm going to have any interest in this week.
So I'm probably fading the other three, and I would say Tony because he's a defending champ and he's not playing good, but Homa probably ends up the highest owned of the other three, if I'm guessing, given what he's done for the course of the season. That would be enough for me to make him my fade, but I'm kind of fading all three.
Morikawa will be the least popular.
Interesting.
In fact, there's really only, again, this is early Monday nights, so who knows what this means, but there's actually not a huge gap between Thomas, Finau, Morikawa. Homa's probably in that range too. Ricky by far will be the most popular. But it looks like there's a lot of interest in these high nines.
Well, are we ready to get into those high nines?
We are.
And all of them, for that matter. It's Tom Kim at 98, Hideki's 96, Sung JM 94, Cam Davis 93, Keegan Bradley 92, Harris English 9K even. Skeeter, what are you doing here?
If I go anywhere, it's Tom Kim. Like, he had a bad weekend day. I forget which day it was. That's the Travelers. Let's see if I can. If I can't pull up.
Saturday, he shot a 72.
Yeah. Because he started on fire yesterday and then had a couple bogeys, but then finished up pretty strong. But second straight week over five strokes gain on approach. You know, he's not the longest hitter, but I think he's got enough distance. It should cover here. He was top 10 here a year ago. Over 24 rounds, ranks 8th in ball striking, 5th in approach, number 1 in the wedge range from 125 to 150, 2nd from 200+, 4th in par 5s. Like, he's really the only person I have interested in the 9Ks.
I guess I'm just a Hideki guy too here, but I mean, coming off of a 13th last week, he's been just playing really solid. He strikes me as the kind of guy who could very easily be the best player in this field come Saturday evening, Sunday evening.
Yep.
And the price is just a little bit cheaper than the JTs and the Ricky Fowlers of the world. So give me Hideki. I feel like this is a broken record for me. He's not really getting through and getting the job done, but he's definitely not tanking lineups either.
No, and everything you said is correct. The only he would be my number two. I looked at him. The only reason I'm not using him is just because we don't have any top tens. And if he's 8,600 like he was last week, okay, I can live with that. 9,600, we can have some top 10 expectations, and it's just not there. And then when you add to the fact that he's probably going to be the most popular, I mean, it's him, Sung Jae, and Tom Kim.
Is there another one? You say Hideki is your number two, actually,
he
right?
He would be, yes, but I'm not playing him, and so it tells you what I think of the rest of this range.
Which is fair. I think if I had a number two, I mean, I could turn to Cam Davis, and I could turn to Keegan Bradley because this field's so weak. But, I mean, they've been talking about how he circled that on his calendar since he was a little kid. Like, it's almost like he won a major. So I probably would go Cam Davis here. I'm kind of with you, though. I'm not in love with everybody here.
I mean, Cam Davis is my fade. 3 minutes cuts. He finally came back and was 33rd last week, but it was all, I mean, he lost on approach, lost putting, which is never, and he's lost 3 straight tournaments on approach. So even though he, former champion, fits here, I'm just not somebody I really want to go to.
That's fair. I'm not so sure I get to anybody besides Hideki either. So who you said he's your fade. I'm going back to Harris English. I thought, okay, we can trust Harris English. He showed me a little something at the U.S. Open. And the Charles Schwab, well, you know what? For every good, there is a terribly bad. So he is a swing and miss kind of player. If you want to take your chances with Harris English, if I made 100 lineups, I might sprinkle him in, but 10 lineups, I wouldn't.
Yeah, I ended up not playing him in DFS. I just had that early outright bet on him last week and it was fine.
I used him.
I mean, he made the cut, but that's about all you could say. Yeah,
he sure did.
The more and more I looked into this, it's more like, I'm not ready to go there yet. I was like, you know what? I have my hedge equity with the bet. That's all I need to do.
Fair enough. We ready to go to the 8Ks.
Yes, we are flying through this, by the way, which maybe just shows you the lack of a feel for this tournament.
I don't think that's uncommon with these kind of fields, though, quite frankly.
No.
Because we have guys that we'd either be on or off, and then there's some guys who are being priced up because of name value only.
Correct.
You know, like Harris English, per se.
Or I'd say Cam Davis, just because he's a former
Sure. player. Yeah, absolutely. So I don't think that's uncommon for these fields. And I think, I mean, it's kind of a product of the elevated events is if some events are elevated, some of them are not elevated. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Hopefully we have the whole crew back next year. The live guys are back and we have better, fuller fields throughout the course of the year. But that changes nothing today as we go back to the 8K range, Skeeter here. And we will start there. It's Steven Yeager, 89. Brian Harmon, 88. Aberg, 87. Ludwig Aberg, the just graduated college guy. Smalley, 86. Chris Kirk, 85. Hoagie, 84. Straka, 83. Benny Ons, 82. Adam Hadwin, 81. Austin Eckrod, 8K even. Skeeter, where are we going here?
Well, I know who your favorite is, and I think he'll be number two for me, but I'll make my number one Alex Smalley.
Okay.
Feels like it's a little high of a price, but when I look at his past six events, 18th at Wells Fargo, 23rd at the PGA Championship, 40th at Schwab, missed the cut Memorial, that's going to happen. 25th
one, he had one bad round. His second round wasn't bad, for what it's worth, at the Memorial.
Oh, okay. 25th at Canada, 9th at the Travelers. He's gained on approach on all of these. When he missed at the Memorial, he lost two strokes around the green, which I'm not really worried about around here. He lost 3.5 putting. He's gained both, you know, minimal gains, strokes gained putting since then, since, you know, in the last two events. But he ranks out so well in the ball striking categories. Good par four player. Decent with his wedges. Okay, you know, decent birdies are better. 8,600. I'll take somebody who's just striping the ball, give himself plenty of chances, and hope that the putter kind of maybe heats up a little bit.
I assume you think that I'm going to the right guy here, but I'll go with Austin Eckrod at 8K even.
Well, he's my third. That's not who I thought your first would be.
Okay. He's just playing incredibly good right now. Like, he's Aberg without the buzz and a year later, right? But, I mean, this is a guy who's, like, shown his chops in college, and now he's been on tour, and he's been absolutely backing up everything for, really, the entire summer since the spring started. So, tell me what more can Austin Eckrod do? By the way, 24th last week, 10th the week before, 30th, 16th, 2nd. Those are his last five finishes. What more do we need from Austin Eckrod in this field at 8K even? I love him.
His worst, out of all the stats I'm looking at for my model, he's second overall. The worst over the past 24 rounds for him is 50th in putting. Like, he's 8th in proximity from 200+. He's top 10 in both par 4 and par 5 strokes gained, 9th in opportunities gained. Top 20 ball striking approach, birdies are better. Absolutely. Now after this, like, okay, now I'm going to go look to see what his odds are.
He's probably going to be on a bet slip of mine, depending on when I get in and get it on. But, all right, if Eckrod was three, who was number two behind Smalley?
I swore you were going to go with Chris Kirk just because he's got fantastic history here.
He could be my number two. His recent form isn't great.
That was my one concern with him as well.
Is Kirk the guy you're going to as number two?
Yeah, well, actually, after what you said about Eckrod, looking for more, he's my three, Eckrod's my two. Yeah, I am not fighting. Wait, there's no way. Sorry, this is thrilling podcasting. I'm looking at odds right now. There's no way he's as high, is he? Like, or he didn't withdraw, did he?
I don't show him as withdrawn on my board.
I
see him at 60-1.
Okay, thank you. That might be I must just be overlooking.
But I'm not looking. So I'm not like on the best odds finder site. I'm actually just looking where I look first, the local sports book.
Oh.
So I don't know. I'm sure there's a better number. There's probably a worse number too.
Well, he's 45 on DraftKings. So.
Okay. Well, 60-1 is a pretty good number, probably. 8K seems like a pretty good number too.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I mean, he's lower odds than, or he's the same odds as Aberg. He's got, I mean, Harris English is 50-1, Kirk's 50-1, Smalley's 50-1, and they're all priced higher.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. I mean, let me see real quick if people. I mean, I'm assuming people are on Eckrod. He should be pretty. Yeah, he's gonna be popular, but I don't think it matters.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it matters either. At 8K, he doesn't even have to win the tournament. I mean, a top 15 at 8K, and that pays off for itself. Differentiate yourself elsewhere.
Right, I can go different. Yeah, exactly.
Skeeter, I want to go with Kirk as my number two. But I could just go to Ludwig Åberg. The game is real. And this isn't a field that's going to terrify him. There's a couple of names that might scare him on Sunday when he looks at the leaderboard. But, I mean, is he going to be scared of Brian Harman or Adam Hadwin or even Tom Kim? I don't think so. So I might just go with Åberg. I'm considering him or Hadwin or Kirk as my number two.
Yeah, I don't have Åberg right now. You know what? It might come down to him versus Kirk for me. Do I take the consistency of Kirk or the upside of Åberg? And it'd probably be the upside of Åberg, but he's also one of, if he starts getting crazy popular on, I will be more than glad to take a pass.
Yeah, and I would too. I just look at two top 25s in his last two events. Now, granted, neither one of those was the U.S. Open, but I would take a, you know, I guess I would want a little more than a top 25 here in this tier. So I have to think about it. I think I like Ekroth and the other guys. I'm still not sure who I like here.
Åberg's been really good off the tee. I'll throw one other name at you who I believe also has decent history here. Sepp Straka.
I'm still burnt from the U.S. Open, I think.
I get it. So that was a bad Friday. That cost me a little bit. But I mean, past five tournaments, 7th at the PGA, 29th at Schwab, 60th at Memorial, missed the U.S. Open, 30th at Travelers. Like, he's playing well. Most of it's off the tee. His irons are either he's losing a stroke or he's gaining 7+. So it's either slightly bad or like, oh my gosh, extremely good.
That's how you win a tournament though, right?
Exactly. So
not only him, but us trying to win the DFS tournament.
Right. So I don't mind Straka. As I said, I think he's got a good history here. Oh, he's got 11th in the
year.
He's missed the cut the past 2 years.
So, but you know what? I'll take the positive upside with that. I mean, you might have talked me into him as my number two, who I just recently was mad at, but I might be ready to get over it.
All right. Well, you talked me out of Kirk, so I moved it from Kirk to Åberg. So
fair enough. Well, Skeeter, who are you? Did you tell me your fate? I feel like we've trampled through this entire field here in this tier.
I know, right? For as much as we did, like, you know, if we were quick on the 10s, the 9s, apparently we found something we like in the 8s. It's Tom Hoagie, and this is weird because if it's the birdie fest, Tom Hoagie is usually a guy you'd want to go to, but
yeah.
But boy, he's, ever since the Players, best finish is 43rd, just has not been, losing strokes off the tee, losing strokes putting, just bad combination. Not somebody I'm really wanting to trust right now.
I mean, that's the easy one for me to quite honestly. Maybe I'll fade Brian Harman. He's coming off of a nice run at his place where he's has pretty good success. He's had two missed cuts here, so I'll mix it up because I won't play Brian Harman, so I'll just go ahead and tell you he's my fade.
Okay.
7K, Skeeter. This is where it starts to get real dicey given the depth of this field. Who are we looking at here?
Oh, I got some 7K guys. Some of my usual suspects I've been playing the past couple weeks are going to pop up here again. So, but I'll start at the top here for me at 7,800, Aaron Rye, who, again, I don't need much convincing to play him. Putter bad. Proximity for 200+, not great, but everything else, 5th in ball striking, 7th in approach, 18th birdies. He's number 1 from 150 to 175, 24th from 125 to 150. He's also top 3 in par 5 and par 5 strokes gained. Like, I realize his variance can be top 10 or missed a cut by 9. But he's coming off a 3rd at Canada, 24th at Travelers, missed the Memorial, but his 12th at Schwab. So he's got some good performances in there. I like his upside chances. You know, top 10, that's what I'm going to start looking for, that upside. 7,800, I think there's enough value to kind of get him in.
A guy that I've been using and enjoying using, Patrick Rogers, is out, so I can't turn to him this week.
That's good. I don't have to worry about making the wrong decision on him.
I look at the top of the 7Ks, and I'm not sure there's a ton I'm interested in. No. Guy, you mentioned, whether it was pre-show or in-show, Justin Suh. I mean, it wasn't good at the Travelers Championship, but it's been pretty consistent. If his down week was still a made cut, I'll look for a little rebound. Not that he has great course history here. I'll be honest, I'm not in love with a lot up here, bud.
No, neither am I. I mean, I think for me is one I'd rather see at a minus 15 type of event that wins.
Yeah.
Because I looked at him, like, Let me pull this back up for Suh. Yeah, he's just not. He's been so putter reliant recently. Like, everything else is kind of there. 60th at Schwab, but I almost feel like, you know, maybe at this where you need to have a hot putter to work, but he kind of profiles somebody who's a little better on the difficult or the average course, and not as much on the easy courses.
JJ Spahn, I know that's not exactly the top tier, top of this tier, 75K. I mean, that's about where I turn to next, I think.
Great history here. He's another one that just kind of, which version of Spahn are you going to get? Miss the Travelers, but irons have been okay, off the tee's been okay. Putter has not been overly great, but he's gained strokes all four times he's come here, and his worst finish is 32nd, so I think he's definitely worth a look. I don't think his odds are high enough for me where I want to bet him, but not yet anyway. So Spahn is on my list.
All right, who else are you looking at?
I mean, we got to keep going to Mark Hubbard, don't we? Like, guy just number one in approach, keeps putting up solid finishes, and his price never seems to rise. Like, 7,500's maybe a little more than we've been paying for, but it still feels cheap in this field.
Yeah, I would agree. I'd have trouble. I mean, missed the cut last week, but was 200 in doing so.
Right, which I can live with.
Heck yeah, too. Yeah, of course.
Other guys I have on the list, like Doug Gim. You know, he continues to play well. I think it was what, 29th last, or no, he got to 15th. Okay, late run.
He's been great for 2 months, month and a half.
Yeah, yeah, four tournaments, 27th, 19th, 12th, and 15th. Like, you know, I think he's certainly, I think, in play. Yeah, putter's the only slight issue there. Nate Lashley kind of jumped out at me a little bit, so the first time champion here. Mr. Travelers, Mr. Schwab, but other than that, 17th at Canada, 23rd at Byron Nelson, 27th at Wells Fargo. Irons are there, off the tee, maybe a little bit of a concern, but putter's been solid. That was the reason except last week, that's where he missed the cut, but got to have some good vibes coming back to the place of his first win.
Lee Hodges down in that range, too, at 7,200.
I did not have him.
That's okay. Missed the cut last week, but has been playing really well since before.
He has good irons, good off the tee. Yeah, just he must have hit a couple balls in the water or something to throw off his approach. For me, in the same range, Adam Shank. You know, we saw him at Schwab. I mean, I realize he missed at Travelers. He missed the U.S. Open, but again, those are right on the number. He was second at Schwab when he lost that playoff to Grillo. Seventh at Memorial. Yes. His irons have been good. Off the tee's been solid. Around the green, yeah, not great. But again, I'm not really concerned with that around here. Three top tens this year include 2 seconds. In this field, at 7,300, who else in this range has top 10 potential or that many top tens?
Yeah, I'm with you. Take a chance at him. He had 2 top tens not too recently, so I'm with you. Skeeter? You got anybody else in 7Ks?
I mean, I'll see if I can talk myself into or out of Luke List, who keeps rating well, but God, that putter's been so bad, that's an issue. Batia intrigues me, but I almost wonder if he's just more of a coastal course person, because when you look at his finishes, they seem to be really, you know, best at coastal courses. And then, again, he's been in the sixes. And I don't know why, and I still don't know why he's 7K, but you know what? Until he's third in birdies or better, third in putting, 29th in approach. Like, Carson Young at 7K keeps making cuts, and a lot of them are top 30s. Like, I mean, I don't know what he has to do to get a price bump, especially in this field. Like, I'll just keep playing him.
Seems incredibly too cheap. Seems like a good way to squeeze in JT and Ricky if you're really trying to do so. Like you said, you started with a dummy lineup at the beginning of the top of the program, too.
In fact, hold on. I think, Carson Young's in it, Doug Gibbon. I have Batia, but I think the more I look at this, Batia will be replaced probably by Shank or somebody else.
Harry Hall, maybe.
That's your guy.
He's on my fantasy team in our league. He's continued to make cuts. The 56th at Travelers wasn't great, but if I needed somebody at 7,100 and I already had Carson Young in my lineup, I'd probably consider Harry Hall.
You want to go to I know you can't. Your former brethren relation, Webb Simpson.
This just doesn't seem like a Webb Simpson season.
Okay, no.
You thought I was going to say, of course. No, this doesn't seem like a Webb Simpson season.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Skeeter, as a matter of fact, I'll just go right back to you. 7K. Skeeter, I'm fading Webb Simpson.
Yeah, 7,100, but yeah, that's a fair fade. I think for me it's Pendrith.
That's fair. I looked at him. I'm certainly not on him.
Yeah, just has not been doing much. Two missed cuts, 65th, 60th the past month. Like, just not in form. There's too many guys around him who I like him a little bit better.
You ready to hit these 6Ks?
Oh, yes.
Who do you like?
Give me a second while I timestamp this. I actually found a couple names down here I didn't mind. Grayson Sigg has been okay the past few tournaments he's played in. He was 19th at Travelers, 38th at Canada. Gained on approach both times. Had a tough stretch in between there, but was 18th at Mexico, another kind of weaker field. So that was one that, you know, if I wanted to, I could go there. And then the other one I have at 6,500, I know he made a cut last week, 52nd, would be Marty Dow, Zhexing Dao. Really good birdies guy, good opportunities. His approach is bad, so that is an issue. But if you're looking for pure scores, Marty Dow, you could do worse than him.
What about Callum Tarrant?
Oh, another guy who can light it up.
He's playing decent as of late. Definitely a guy that I know this time last year, I found myself using a ton.
Yeah, so good off the tee. Putter's been bad. Around the green's been terrible, but again, not. And his iron's been too inconsistent. Don't mind it down here. Like, if you have a reason for, I mean, if you have a reason to play somebody, go for it. Just probably not for me.
David Lipsky at 6,800.
God, you are hitting all of my international guys. I love.
I didn't know that.
Playing. Taryn Lipsky, Rye. Where's Kitayama at? He'd be perfect for me in this field. I can't get the stats to come up on Lipsky. 24th in approach, 24th proximity from 150 to 175. Everything else kind of. Approach has been okay. Off the tee, not losing a ton. Yeah, you know what? He's middling, but you know what? Down at this price range, it's nuts. I'll throw him on my list.
Skeeter, tell me why I should not play Scott Stallings. He's got good course history.
Good history, but I don't think his form's very good. No, he hasn't made a cut since Heritage.
I know, but like now all of a sudden I'm trying to put Scott Stallings back in play because I spoke Denny McCarthy's good season into existence. Now I'm ready. Now Scott Stallings is the new next guy for me.
Ooh. Oh.
I don't know. He just seems like my kind of dude.
Yeah.
I bet some of these guys that I like, I bet you they would hate me and I wouldn't get along with them at all. But for some reason, there's certain guys I'm like, oh, I like him now. Scott Stallings, one of those guys.
Oh, you know, there's a guy in 6Ks who I'm not playing this week, but I think we're doing a disservice. We don't mention.
We'll get there. We'll get there.
Okay.
Well, I assume you meant one Charlie Hoffman, who's also up top there.
That's not who I was referring to. But...
Oh, okay. All right. Fair enough. Well, who were you getting to then?
How great a storm was Zach Blair?
I mean, he certainly popped a week yesterday, right? Now, he is not. So fill in the blanks for me. He has not guaranteed his top 70 yet, right?
No, he's on a major medical that he's coming back for. I think he needs a tied for 32nd or better this week to get his full card. And I don't know. Because
he needed the clean second place yesterday, right?
Right. And then okay. I think, was it Cantlay who got there? Or no, Cantlay missed.
Cantlay did and didn't, actually.
I forget who it was, but no. Like, the guy's, I don't think he's made $1 million in his career and he won that yesterday. And coming back from major medical, those are just the great, every week we seem to have one cool story of Monday qualifier or somebody's out of the blue coming up. And Zach Blair in a major event, you know, elevated events, you know, he's probably, I mean, I think he's got 4 or 5 starts left. So, all he needs is one more decent tournament, makes the cut, and gets a top 30. And he's got his card back. Like, they're just awesome.
That is why we like these. That's why we like these golf stories, man. Golf always seems to provide that. If only he could. Sorry, I got flustered. I found Ross Steelman. I was thinking about telling you I wanted to use him, another young collegian at 6,100. But I was thinking, what? Yesterday, somebody just tell Zach Blair to put the microphone up a little bit. He was holding it down by his belly button while he was talking to Amanda. Yeah. Put the mic up to your mouth, bruh. But if that's the worst thing he did all week, that's some form that I'm sure he'd be happy to work on as he continues to have post-round interviews.
I was going to say, I'm assuming he probably hasn't had many recently.
Probably not. And then he like put the mic up by his face after the first answer. But then by the time Amanda asked the second question and he started answering, he had already put the mic back down by his belly button. I was just like, whatever. It's good enough.
He's probably just a little nervous.
Sure he was.
If you want to go with a or maybe he's an amateur.
I don't think I'm actually going Ross Steelman. I'm just at 6,100. There's a guy who obviously was playing really good just what 2 weeks ago for what Wake Forest, right?
I don't know all my collegiate golfers, but
I only know that because I was watching the like final eight teams because that became good theater.
Okay, amateur, maybe he's now pro. Aldrich Pottgeiter, I think he made the cut at the U.S. Open. He might have been low am. 62. Don't worry, there'll be a college guy I will probably throw at least in one lineup next week for me. From Illinois, who's actually from the same town I live in.
All right.
So, we'll wait for that one next week.
Skeeter, do you have anything further in the 6Ks?
I don't.
I did make sure to let you know that Charlie Hoffman's certainly on my radar and ABC. I will have a bet on him, as I always do. You got anybody that's just screaming fade in 6Ks?
Before I do, where's Silver Sabs at? Like, I haven't seen him in a while.
I would imagine he's working. He's probably been at Rome working on his vice captain duties.
Is he really?
No. Oh, my God, no. I just made that up. There's no way isn't Luke Donald the captain this year?
Yeah.
I don't think him and Sabs are chumming it up. No. Oh, I'd imagine if anybody's in Rome working on figuring out that course, it's the Molinari's.
Well, Eduardo, I think, is going to be the one who might get to play. It's not going to be Frankie. Chad Collins, former name of the past, getting in. Yeah, he's only played one tournament this year and only a handful last year and wasn't very good. So we'll say Chad Collins.
All right, because he's
cut here in 2019, so let's get that. He has that for him.
He's taken such a beating in our league group chat. I'll go ahead and fade one Joel Damon, who, when he makes the cut, just barely does anything better than making the cut since last calendar year. Looks like T41 is his best finish.
Well, let's just say I'm not really worried about my team in that league because that's bad. Once I lost Zalatoris to injury and other things, it's not a pleasant thing. Like I looked last week, I had two people make the cut. Outstanding.
If I've got one thing going for me, even with Daniel Berger still not playing a single event as I think my fourth round pick, or maybe it's a little later, and Colin Morikawa is my first round pick not being great, my team's still been pretty good, so I can't complain. It's been the likes of Austin Ekroat and Ricky Fowler that are carrying me, frankly.
That's all right.
Hence the reason I'm on Ekroat again this week, I guess.
I'm going to be shopping some numbers on him.
Skeeter, shall we take it to the one-and-done conversation?
Yes, I'm not sure if you want to, but I will.
So I picked John Rahm last week in an attempt to get out of the cellar, and boy, did I pick the one week you didn't want to pick him. He misses the cut. I am currently, there must have been a stat correction. I have moved from 2899 to 2897 here recently. Or maybe my eyes were just too blurry, and I saw the second, the last number as a 9 and not a 7. But I'm in 2,897th place. I assure you, Skeeter, there are very few people behind me.
Yeah, it's just, I was thinking about this earlier today. Like, you know, in some ways, this is exactly what you want. Like, in order to be at the top, you got to take chances. Like, either hit it perfectly or fail epically, because, you know, it's almost that boom-bust potential thing, and unfortunately for you this year, it's just bust. But you know what? There'll be more seasons coming up, and you'll find your way in the money.
Well, rest assured, I will find the money to get myself back into the next season. Whether or not the reciprocal is true will remain to be seen. Who am I taking this week? Who the hell cares? You're in a good spot, Skeeter. And honestly, I mean, who should I take? I should take Ludwig Åberg. No one's taking him.
Oh, I bet some will.
He'll be less than 1% owned. And if he finishes well, I mean, the only smart, like, good pick that would make sense for me is Keegan Bradley at 91% availability, because I doubt anybody picks him the week after he won. I have Ricky at 64% available. I do have Tom Kim, but I might just pencil in Ludwig Åberg. No, you know what? I have Austin Eckrode available, 100% available. I'm picking him, unless you're going to.
No.
Not because at this point, it's okay if I pick who you pick from our competition perspective. I just don't want to curse you.
Oh, well, I appreciate it. I'm not really worried about your curse, but I appreciate that.
It ain't good this year.
No. For me, it's going to be Ricky Fowler.
Yeah.
I mean, if I think that this is kind of his breakout win spot, I have to use him. I don't know where else I would use him. Maybe the Scottish. I don't feel play. I don't feel play Wyndham. But JT would be the other one I'd consider. But as I said, I kind of want to hold off on JT.
He'd be nice to have in the open.
No, that's Cam Smith for me, I think.
That's fair. That's fair. He'd be nice to have in the first round of playoffs or something.
That's kind of where I'm thinking. I think he has won at St. Jude before. He's played really well there before, too. So, yeah, that's...
And if you could back up JT with Rom down the stretch run in the playoffs?
Yep. That's my plan.
That wouldn't be a bad... That might not be a bad finishing move there.
No, and I don't know... You know, I don't know...
God, I hope... out for you.
I mean, as I said, I'm in like 247th place right now, like in pay 375. Like, I mean that's a heck of, you know, that's a great ROI. If I can get inside the top 100, that's when the money really starts starting to jump up every 10 spots or so. So that's why it'd be nice, but that's why I kind of want to, that's kind of my plan here, is just to throw Rom at the end, and you know, if JT can start playing well enough that I can use him at Memphis, you know. There, if not, I mean, I still have Hideki, which I don't, you know, maybe he shows up at 3M, but still have a few names left.
The JT Rom finishing move in the playoffs, like the Monday Night Hammer in football.
That's what I'm going to try. I mean, it's got to work out, right? Like, you know, the game theory behind it is fitting. You just got to wait for the results, but
there are thousands of people who are in that contest who are jealous of your standing and the players with your left at your disposal.
Yeah.
Thousands. Count me amongst them.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. But I think I'm stealing your guy. I'm planning on stealing your guy next week at John Deere.
That's okay. If that's where he hits and I only cash it for 12-1, so be it.
He better be more than 12-1, but...
You know what this field's going to look like, dude. If that field's no good... There's a chance he's in the 10Ks.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean,
Denny McCarthy is who we're talking about, folks.
I'll start my lineup: Denny McCarthy, Zach Johnson, Steve Stricker.
Oh boy, sounds like a tale of two decades.
Well, yeah, I mean that's kind of way it goes. But I'll have other lineups. But yeah, I'll start that one. Maybe I'll even throw my Morton guy in there too. So.
Skeeter, do we have anything further for Rocket Mortgage?
Not for Rocket Mortgage, but we have something else. Because Thursday's round one of the Rocket Mortgage. You and I will be paying attention to that, but I think we might be paying attention to each other's golf game as well.
Well, we will be, as we will be facing off in an epic battle of our own.
Epic battle where somebody can get up four shots and can be gone in one hole.
I believe we've seen it happen in just that fashion. So
what amusing thing am I going to do this time? Because the first time we golfed together, I somehow was able to hit a ball that didn't make it across the pond, but bounced back right in front of me. And then the last time we played, I nearly took out the cart girl.
Well, I'm hoping that this time you're taking out flag sticks. Like, from the green you're aiming at.
Hmm. Yeah, well, that would be nice.
Or, I don't know, maybe you're taking out a loan to pay me all my skins.
I don't know. You have to bring some money because I'm planning on going to the casino after the round. So
I'll be racking up those dollars. Yeah, right.
You know, I gotta maybe throw in some. Well, no, I can't throw live bets because I won't be there cash. But yeah, I'm gonna have to bring some money in case you get revenge for me from the Brickyard.
You can always throw those live bets down on your phone, though.
This is true.
But yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it. I was playing some good golf about a month ago, and then last week I got my keister crushed by my buddy Curtis last week. I'm telling you, dude, I got two halves from him, and then I won a hole outright. The hole I won outright, I swear he felt bad for me and gave it to me. Like, because it was just like he went from tearing me apart to just chunking them and slicing them in the woods. I'm like, it was so good to so bad, I thought it was intentional. And so I managed to get 2 out of 8 points, or 10 points. I lost 8-2, and we went good on 9. And I was like, thank God he agreed to that so I can get 2 full points. I don't. When somebody says, well, how many did you get? I could at least say 2. It was plural.
Right.
So we'll see what kind of game I bring to Central Indiana, but hopefully it's one that I find tomorrow, not the one I found last week.
I hope I bring mine too, and the one that didn't a couple weeks ago when the wind was non-existent.
Oh yeah, we've had some wind rounds up here. That's been my phrase in my league play. I got gusted. It's been my excuse phrase for a while.
Oh yeah, gusted. I don't see any leaves. Well, I got gusted. Dang it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, I let other people get gusted too. So once we're all four using the same excuse, it's cool.
Oh okay. Well, that's fine. That's
Well, Skeeter, I'm certainly looking forward to that. I'm certainly looking forward to the Rocket Mortgage as well. Golf is certainly heating up, and when it's hot outside, it's fun to be inside watching, well, Reds baseball and some PGA Tour.
Yeah, well, I can't say much about my White Sox right now, so.
Yeah, it's been a fun summer.
I bet, yeah. No, I mean, it's been a fun summer for me for golf so far. I feel like I'm close to getting one monster lineup to at least have a chance on Sunday. But in the meantime, I'm just kind of treading water. And, you know, I have chances. I've had some small chances. I just need some 6-6s so I can have the big chance. But it's coming, hopefully.
I feel you. I feel you. I kind of feel like I'm there, too. So let's hope we're talking about one of those biggins in a week from now, big fella.
Sounds good to me.
All right, well, good luck to you, Skeeter. Good luck to everybody, and certainly appreciate y'all listening. For Skeeter Robinson, I'm James Adams, and this has been the Fantastics, My Fantasy Fix, DFS Golf Podcast.